Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
China said this week that its production of steel hit a record high last month, despite a global glut of steel, and pleas from other countries to cut back on production. The U.S. joined with other countries this week to deal with the problem, and joining us now is the U.S. Commerce Secretary, Penny Pritzker. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us exactly what you and other countries are doing right now when it comes to China and its steel production.
Well, you know, steel is in a state of crisis. We have a massive global excess capacity. Prices are down, profits are decreasing, and the United States has lost about 13,000 jobs. So we have just this week had meetings with the entire world has come together in Brussels. The NAFTA countries, the EU countries, Turkey, Korea, the United States have come together and committed to meaningful actions to address excess capacity. Unfortunately, China has not made commitments, and China has about 300 to 400 million tons of excess capacity over their domestic consumption, which is more excess capacity than the rest of the world. So it's a real challenge that we face and a conversation that we're trying to have with China.
So what are the meaningful actions?
Well, it includes, for example, refraining from adopting government policies that encourage the net expansion of steel, refraining from subsidies and other forms of government support that maintain loss-making steel enterprises, preventing state-owned enterprises from receiving special benefits that distort competition, and exchanging information so that we have reliable data related to steel production so there's a better understanding of exactly what is the supply and the demand.
You're asking for them to do these things.
These are the actions that the NAFTA countries, the EU, the U.S., Turkey, Korea have identified as actions that they're going to take.
But what about China? Will China do the things that you would like them to do? Is there any way to compel China to do those things?
Well, compelling is challenging. This is something that's voluntarily the world's steel-producing countries are coming together. And, you know, this is hard because reducing capacity affects jobs and affects local economies. But there's a recognition that by having, I think we have something like 700 million tons of excess global capacity, of which about 300 to 400 million is in China alone, that excess capacity is affecting the price of steel, the profitability, and is costing jobs globally. And so we as the world need to come together to address this.
As you know, in the presidential campaign, China's behavior has come up again and again, and a lot of politicians, including especially Donald Trump, have made a lot of hay about the U.S. needs to stand more strongly against China and not let China do these things that we don't like as a country economically. Is there more that the U.S. could do in this case to really make China cut back on steel production when you've got such oversupply?
I think if you step back for a minute, I think one of the most important actions the country can take is to pursue the trade agreements in the Asia-Pacific region. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is an extremely important part of addressing the United States' ability to be competitive. You know, today, 95% of consumers are outside the United States. 80% of the buying power is outside the United States. And the fastest growing markets in the world and the fastest growing middle class in the world are in the Asia Pacific region. Other countries, including China, have somewhere around 100 free trade agreements in that part of the world, and we don't. And our economy and our workers benefit from having access into those markets. And the Trans-Pacific Partnership addresses not only tariffs, but also improves environmental standards, improves labor standards, increases U.S. competitiveness, and really addresses impediments to digital trade. So taking action on the Trans-Pacific Partnership would be another important way the United States could lead in terms of global trade.
Even though the TPP does not include China.
Even though the TPP does not include China, it improves the ability for America's companies and our workers to compete in the marketplace against China, which already has free trade agreements with these countries.
So how big of a problem is it then that the two leading Democratic candidates for president, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, have come out against the TPP, saying it's going to lead to more inequality?
I think the opportunity is for us to explain to the American people and for businesses that are selling their goods and services around the world to explain to their employees, as well as their political leaders, why they need TPP. And that's something that our administration and the business community is undertaking right now. Now's the time for us to act. We cannot afford to wait. The Peterson Institute has done a study that shows the one-year cost of delay on TPP would cost the United States $94 billion.
That's Commerce Secretary Penny Pritzker. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.